All right, hello. You're listening to another episode of our PAC Politics Podcast. Our podcast is brought to you by our organization, our United Resource PAC. If you don't know, we are a tax-exempt political organization. Hello, I'm your host, Brittany McDowell, and once again, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Today, I'm going to tackle the question, rather, what are the chances of getting a third stimulus check? A lot of people, especially given this change in power that we've seen, not just with the presidency, but with the Senate more specifically, a lot of people are pretty hopeful about the possibility that we will see more stimulus and an actual sufficient stimulus, not just the bare bones that we literally just saw. So what are the odds just generally of not just receiving that third stimulus check, but if we do, what will the amounts be? So we're going to talk about that on today's episode. I also want to share a resource with you that will help you get and check the status of your second economic impact payment. So that's what I have in store for you for today's episode. Sit back, we'll get started. And I'm not going to say if it will be long or not be long. You'll just have to sit back and see. So let's go on this ride together. Let's start the show. Hey, this is Brittany. Just wanted to shoot you a quick reminder. Look in the description box of this episode and you can find a link to our website. On our website, you can find our latest blog posts. You can find our contact information. You even want to make a contribution, you can go over there and do that as well. You can find out the policies we are looking at and targeting as an organization. You know, I say all the time that we are a tax-exempt political organization. If you want to know more about that, again, go on over to our website, our-pack.com, where you can find out everything you want to know. You can do everything you want to do. We will gladly, gladly, gladly welcome you on our website with open arms. Again, check out our website in the description box below. So when we talk about the possibility, the chances of getting a third stimulus check, as mentioned in the intro for today's show, a lot of people find hope in what we have recently seen in Georgia. And in case you happen to have been under a rock, in a rock, get it, it's a joke. I'm horrible at those, right? But in case you happen to not have been paying attention to what has happened in Georgia, we basically had two Democrats win the recent Georgia Senate runoff elections. And point blank, period, the fact that these Democrats in Georgia have pulled this off, there's no other way to say this, but they increase the odds that we will see a third stimulus check. The reason is because of this. The Senate, which is the body that was under control of Republicans, the Senate has 100 seats. Without those two seats in play, Democrats had 48 seats. Republicans had 50 seats. Now you have an even split with those two seats going to Democrats. Now, before I kind of talk about or mention what this means and how that kind of 50-50 tie is broken, I do want to mention, in case you happen to forgot, that the House remains in control of the Democrats under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi. But so going back to the Senate, if you have a situation where you there needs to be a tiebreaker. If it's a, okay, we've got 50 here, 50 here. Oh my gosh, what do we do on this vote? The person who then has the responsibility to come in and to break that tie is the Vice President of the United States, which going forward from January 20th will be Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And so what this means is that essentially Democrats will control the Senate, not just with the tie-breaking vote, but something else that's important to note is they are going to control the Senate in terms of setting the, not just tone of the Senate, but setting the actual agenda of the Senate, what actually gets voted on. If you don't know, one of the reasons Mitch McConnell was referred to as like the Grim Reaper or like the Grim Turtle, right? One of the reasons why he was said to be the person that killed things in the Senate was simply because he literally just did not put anything up for a vote. He did not allow anything to get voted on. You'd have votes happen in the House, they'd come to the Senate, they'd just die because he wouldn't put things up for a vote. The most recent occurrence of seeing that is when we saw that $2,000 stimulus check when they were trying to convert, when you had Bernie Sanders in the Senate really pushing to convert that $600 check that many people are receiving now to a $2,000 check. Mitch McConnell simply wouldn't let it come up for a vote. But so now when we look at the changes in the Senate, that's one of the key things that is going to change, not simply and only that the Democrats will have the tie-breaking vote under the leadership of Kamala Harris as that designated tiebreaker, but they will also be able, with the change in leadership, it is not going to be Mitch McConnell anymore setting the tone. He is not going to get to decide, well, what goes on the calendar? What do we vote on? He doesn't get to call the shots anymore. And so because of that, legislation that previously would never have even seen the daylight in the Senate now actually has the chance. So these changes that I just discussed are what are actually going to ease passage of another stimulus relief bill. And I want to point out that President-elect Joe Biden, he's previously said that he supports more stimulus. Now, I do want to point out, I'm not going to go off some tangent here because I definitely can. I do want to point out that some economists, some public figures in his ear have been public about not supporting not just the $600 that we recently received, but they don't even really support future stimulus. The question then becomes, you know, how much of his ear is he lending that audience, right? Is he really paying attention to what they're saying? Or is it just kind of going in one ear and out the other? But again, the main takeaway here is that simply based on the changes that we are seeing or that we have seen as a result of Democrats Ossoff and Warnock winning the recent Georgia Senate runoff elections, we definitely have a significant increase in our odds of seeing a third stimulus payment. Once people kind of get past the question of, are we likely to see a third stimulus payment, a third direct stimulus payment to Americans, the question for a lot of Americans then becomes, will that payment, will the cash payment be a $2,000 check? Or will it be a $1,400 check? That's the big question. The big question is, are lawmakers going to push for just a clean slate? Here's a fresh $2,000 for you as an individual. Or are they going to say, well, look, we've already sent $600 and $1,400. If we send that, that is the remainder of the $600 that would equal a $2,000 stimulus. And it would yield a $2,000 payment for individual Americans. We don't know kind of, you know, what people are, what politicians are looking to do. But we do know this. On January 10th at 4:45 p.m., President-elect Joe Biden, he sent out a tweet. And the tweet said, and I'm quoting here, $600 is simply not enough when you have to choose between paying rent or putting food on the table. We need $2,000 stimulus checks, end quote. So note right there, he just said that we need $2,000 stimulus checks. Did he mean at that time that we need a new stimulus payment that would be $2,000 on its face? Or did he mean that we should have had $2,000 when we passed the $600, so we only want to send $1,400? He didn't say anything. And actually, if we go back a few days before that, 6 days before that, on January 4th, President Joe Biden, one of the things that he did that really started getting people to talk about the likelihood of us seeing a third stimulus payment was that he started to draw the connection between the Senate runoff in Georgia, that election, and what it actually will mean for future stimulus. And he sent out a tweet. Again, this was on January 4th, and he sent it out on at 4:52 p.m., and I'm quoting the tweet right here, and it says, "The debate over $2,000 isn't some abstract debate in Washington. It's about real lives. Hardworking Americans need help, and they need it now. Georgia, you have the power to make it happen. Vote." End quote. Georgia voted. Georgia got those two senators in. And again, once people realized, yo, he sent this tweet out, like, it instantly solidified for a lot of people the fact that, like, there's no doubt that we are going to see a third stimulus payment. But again, we still don't have an answer to what that payment will be. And I know it's not what a lot of people want to hear, but in the words of COVID in chief, it is what it is, right? We don't know if the push, when we get the Biden-Harris administration, we don't know if that push is going to be for new checks of a flat out $2,000 per person, or if that push is going to be for $1,400. So again, I know it's not what you want to hear. I know that you probably came into this segment with me or with hopes that I'd be able to give you like some flat out dollar amount. I don't have that information. And anybody who is telling you at this point that they know exactly what that dollar amount is going to be, they're lying to you. Okay, because no one has that information. It has not been disclosed at this point. But I will say that when we do get that information, as soon as my ears perk up and hear something, I will absolutely expediently make sure that I share that with you. So keep your ears open, as I will do the same. So it's pretty clear to people that we will see a third direct stimulus payment to Americans. We're unclear of what that amount will be. The next question that a lot of people have is, okay, well, when are we likely to actually receive that third stimulus check, whatever the amount of that check may be? There is kind of a common kind of theory out in the ethos where some people are saying that, we'll probably see a third stimulus package somewhere around March. Okay. Let me explain their logic, which may make sense but I'll explain why I differ from the common logic here. The common logic around why this will likely happen in March is because when you look at the bill that was just passed last month, the unemployment extension that was added to that bill ends in March. Okay, now let me tell you, given that the fact is that there was only a one-time stimulus payment in that package, and given the fact that if we wait until the current recently extended unemployment benefits end to readdress this need for economic stimulus, and that puts us in March, and given the fact that it would leave many Americans without, sorry about that, that was my phone, that it would put many Americans in a situation where they would be without stimulus from January until March, I actually don't agree that we will be waiting until March. Look, I know you're like, what, Brittany? No, it totally makes sense. It does make sense. If you assume that the norms that we have been dealing with are in place, remember at the beginning of this episode, one of the things that I addressed is that, look, we have a change in leadership. They're going to be setting a different agenda. Hopefully they do, because I've talked about before, if they don't, they are going to set themselves up to really not be in positions of power for a very long time. But anywho, not talking about that right now. So if you kind of go with those, the assumption of March, that's again kind of going with the norm that we've been seeing throughout this need for economic stimulus while dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. The norm has been, by the leadership setting the agenda at the time, the norm has been that we wait until current stimulus is done. We pause. Remember Mitch McConnell, he was the one that wanted to pause. But when you look at what the Democrats did, what did the Democrats do in the House when the CARES Act was initially passed? They did not wait until that current bill had come to an end before they decided to do something. They already had their next round of stimulus passed months before it came to an end. The CARES package came to an end. And so now that we will see leadership by that group of people, my expectation, not based on my feelings, but based on what we have seen from that group of people, is that we will not be waiting until March. What? Yes, I don't think we'll be waiting until March. Again, based on the past behaviors of the people who now are going to be running the show. The expectation of waiting until March is based on the people who had been running the show. Turtle Boy, Mitch McConnell, he's out. Okay? Dems, they have all control January 20th going forward. They have the presidency. They control the Senate. They control the House. They control in the House and the Senate what comes up for a vote and when. And they are not going to wait until March. That's Brittany's hypothesis here, okay? And so I think if I had to say what is going to happen, whatever bill we see drafted between January and March, because I do believe that we will see another round of stimulus before March, I don't think that it is probably going to address additional needs for unemployment. I'd be surprised if it does, but I do believe at the very least it will be some sort of a standalone stimulus bill that does not include unemployment. Could be wrong there, but I don't believe that I am wrong on the fact that we will see stimulus passed again before March, because that has been the norm in institutions where the party that is now in control is in control. So that's kind of my prediction on this. And I think that you should consider, if you are hearing predictions of when we should see more stimulus and people are saying it's in March, consider that they are basing that not just on the fact that the unemployment extensions end in March, but because more likely than not, they're taking into consideration the norms that we have seen to this point. Times have changed. Control has changed. And the party that now is in control has a track record. What is a track record? Has a track record in this current pandemic of actually doing something well before the expiration date. They don't wait until the homework is due and do their homework the night before or turn it in late. The assignment gets assigned on Sunday. It's not to due until Friday. They get that assignment done by Monday or Tuesday. Just kind of giving you an example of what we're dealing here. Mitch McConnell, he is no longer calling the shots. He's not setting the agenda. He's not doing that anymore. He's out. He's not going to be the majority leader. He is not going to be that one man with absolute authority. Now, there have been conversations that I've been hearing, and there is legitimacy to them. There have been conversations around Joe Manchin. Joe Manchin is, if you've ever heard of like a Republican in name only, he's a Democrat in name only. He calls himself a Democrat, but he looks like a Republican, talks like a Republican, quacks like a Republican. Like, everything about him is Republican, including pretty much his voting record. There have been talks about him being a serious impediment to the agenda of Democrats, even with all of the control they now assume. And I do think that those concerns are valid, but I do also think, especially when you look at what's been happening in recent days with people reaching out to him, calling his office, so on and so forth, and making their concerns and demands known to him as their elected representative, in his responses, in his public responses to that, I think it's abundantly clear that he might want to be a Mitch McConnell in terms of having absolute authority and being the big man on the block. But I don't think he has quite the balls as Turtle Boy. I don't think that he quite, because his position, while it's secure, it's not as secure as Mitch. But I'm not going to go, I definitely could go on a tangent. Maybe we'll talk about that in another episode. But I don't think that is as much of a concern as many people are presenting it to be, but I do think it is a concern. He is a threat, but if Mitch McConnell was like a nuclear weapon threat, then what we're seeing with this dude might be, I don't know. I don't know if he's a nuke. I don't know. I can't think of something, but he's not a nuclear weapon threat. He is a threat, but not as big of a threat. Okay? So keep that in mind. One of the things that I want to speak to that I think needs to be profoundly understood by us, your average everyday Americans, is the fact that politicians, most, not all, but most, don't really understand what real American hardship is. How do I know this? Well, the Treasury Department, they put out an estimate in relation to this $600 stimulus payment that they're sending out to people. And their estimate is that the payment that they are sending or have sent in some cases of the $600, that for the people who are deemed the neediest, those who need the most assistance, those Americans, that $600 payment will last them no more than 6 weeks. In a way that they're right, it won't last them more than 6 weeks. But I don't understand how they came up with that estimate, because when we look at data from the last stimulus package, that $1,200 check, we saw that the neediest Americans spent that $1,200 in 1 week. So they spent double what they got this time in 1/6 of the estimated amount of time that they're. How disconnected from reality do you really have to be to think that less money this time, when things are worse, that less money is actually going to help people for a longer, like, what? In what reality does it make sense? Look, we have economists who at this point are saying that, yo, we need much more funding. And the question I pose is, are politicians actually listening to them? I mean, they're not listening to their constituents. At the very least, are they listening to the professionals? Now, I do have to kind of preface that with saying that, as I mentioned earlier, you do have some professionals out there, as we've seen with some people in the ears of our president-elect, that are saying, well, look, they don't need stimulus. We don't need the $600. We definitely don't need anything again in the future. But that is not what most economists, most professionals, most people who really understand the minutia of our economy, that is not what they are saying. They are saying, look, we need much more funding, much more money. And I'll close with this. As I was preparing for this segment today, something that came to my mind that I want you to keep in mind was something that I said last year. I said it when they were negotiating the current stimulus package that we're seeing, this $900 billion package. When they were crafting this package, when they're actually before this package came into fruition, and we were at the point where, I don't know if you remember, there was no talk of stimulus checks. It was just, we're going to help the unemployed, but we're not going to provide stimulus checks. Remember, there was an uproar over that, and then stimulus checks actually ended up getting added. But so when we were at that point, and it was a conversation that the politicians were having where they were just looking at just doing unemployment, not doing stimulus. And while I'm thankful that they absolutely decided to do stimulus, if you remember, one of the things that I was saying at that time was that, quite frankly, it was more important that we saw an extension of the unemployment benefits than it was for us to actually see a stimulus check. Not to say that I didn't support it, but when I actually looked at the data that measured the impact of both of those things, a one-time stimulus payment and recurring additional unemployment benefits, there was more support, not just for the individual, but for communities and our economy at large. There was more support when you did the recurring unemployment benefit as opposed to that one-time stimulus payment, okay? And so I want you to know that one-time stimulus checks, they're generally less potent. They have less of an impact in supporting our national spending. And, you know, we have a consumer-based economy. We don't have an economy without consumers. You can promote business all you want, but if they don't have consumers, it doesn't matter, right? But more so than a one-time stimulus check, Our economy is helped, which is what the purpose of stimulus is, when you give that recurring unemployment benefit. And this was noted. You recently had an Oxford economics chief, the U.S. economist Gregory Dacko. He released a recent research report that basically touted this information as well. And what we actually need, when you consider not just what I said months ago, but what you see in this report, one of the things that I think that we actually need at this point, if we want to maximize the effectiveness and efficiency of stimulus and not be in the situation where we need perpetual stimulus forever because we can never get things off the ground, is we need not a one-time stimulus check, not extended unemployment benefits. We need a recurring stimulus check for all Americans. Look, this instability and lack of confidence that people have in the economy, in just everything that's going on right now, this is not helping people and it's not sustainable. If people think that consumer confidence does not matter when you are trying to get this economy back going again, making it great again, you don't understand that in a consumer-based economy, consumer confidence is key. Without it, there is no consumer participation. So we've got a lot of uncertainty going on right now. I mean, think about it. You know, we've got, yes, we have a vaccine, but the distribution of the vaccine is not effective. It's not efficient at the local level or state level. I can't think of anywhere where they are really maximizing effectiveness and efficiency as they move to distribute the vaccines and get it into the arms of Americans. That is an utter crap show. There's a lot of uncertainty around that. The virus itself, we have more than 4,000 Americans dying every day due to contracting COVID. And that virus is mutating like crazy. Here a lot of us are just kind of getting used to the idea of this UK strain, and then we learn that there's some South African strain. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I was watching the news last night when I was going to bed, and I was hearing about some other sort of strain or how it's mutating. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. All I know is this crap is bad. I don't know how, what? This is not Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is like Mutant Ninja Virus, right? This thing is mutating at a rate simply because it is so pervasive among us. It's mutating at a faster rate than we are typically used to seeing viruses mutate. So we've got that going on. That's causing uncertainty. And as I discussed on Monday's show, we've got some local leaders who are removing mask mandates in their cities and their states. And then, don't get me started. You know, we all know about the massacre, the attempted massacre, the insurrection that we saw at the Capitol on the 6th of January, a date that will forever go down in history. And we are hearing now about Republicans who refuse to wear a mask, and they've infected other members, their colleagues, other members of our congressional body. So you have not just congressional leaders, but average everyday Americans who don't care about infecting themselves or others. All of this stuff creates for an environment of uncertainty. And what we need to do is we need to send some sort of, we need to inject some sort of certainty into the current situation. How do we do that? There are many ways we can do that, but one of the top ways to do it, one way that will ripple and impact a lot of other forms of uncertainty that I just mentioned, is to get recurring monthly stimulus checks to each and every American. It's not hard. It's really as simple as it sounds. Get a recurring monthly check into the hands of Americans, and we can start creating some minimal form of certainty that is needed in our consumer-based economy. So the resource that we have for you today is a resource that speaks to the fact that the IRS and the Treasury are now actually delivering the second round of stimulus payments. This resource is called the Get My Payment tool. It's not a tool that we've created. It's a tool that is provided by the IRS. And the tool will confirm not only that the IRS has actually sent your payment, or that it will, and it will give you the date, it also will notify you as to how you can expect to receive your payment. So that could be a direct deposit to your bank account if they have that information, or a check in the mail. The tool also provides you with answers to questions that you might have about how to receive your payment, addressing any issues if you have some with your bank account. Maybe you closed it. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen in that case? Or maybe you've changed your address and you know for a fact that you'll be getting a mailed check, or whatever the case might be. Not only is there the tool, there is also, for your benefit, a host of answers to questions that you might have. So definitely check it out. How can you get access to this tool? Well, one of the things that you can do if you join our email list today, exactly when you subscribed, within like a few seconds, you'll receive an email with the resource that I'm mentioning today, and then you'll get a link and you can click and go right to it rather than trying to search for it. There are, there are malicious sites out there that are meant to look like the IRS, and they're not the real deal. So rather than telling you exactly where to go, if you again subscribe to our email list, you'll get the exact link that you need, and you'll find the link to subscribe to our email list in the description box below. So that's your resource for today. I hope it helps you out. All right, so that is our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you took a few things away from today's episode. First and foremost, the fact that the Democrats won the special runoff election in Georgia significantly increases our chances of seeing a third stimulus check. Second point, when it comes to the amount of the stimulus check, we don't know the amount. Could be $2,000, could be a $1,400 check, depending on how some people do calculations. The third thing to take away is that in terms of when we are likely to see the next stimulus check, a majority of people are saying that it's going to be somewhere around March. My hypothesis is that it will be before March. That's just what Brittany is saying. And then the fourth thing that I want you to walk away from listening to this episode today understanding is that politicians, most of them, don't really understand the hardship of most Americans. And there are people out there who are trying to communicate that, such as economists, but it's really unclear if they are actually hearing them. I think a lot of politicians are starting to hear. They're really, a lot of them just aren't really connecting with the actual hardships of Americans. So please take that away from today's episode. Also, if you have not looked at it, make sure you look at the resource that we provided. We didn't create it, but we are giving you access to it if you haven't heard about it. So make sure you join the mailing list to get access to that resource. So thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. It's been a pleasure, and I will see you Friday. Have a good one. Stay safe. Wear your hazmat suit if you have one. Wear your mask. Get your hand sanitizer. You know the drill by now.